Doctor Show for natural, organic gardening advice. And now the Dirt Doctor, my dad, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Number to be with me if you want to chat about anything or debate anything or whatever is the same number as always. Only one to remember. It's 866-444-3478. 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. This hour is brought to you by the Organic Club of America. We're having a big seminar January the 19th. We'd love for you to come. You have to be a member. Very easy to join. Doesn't cost much. Worth a lot. You can see how it all works right on the left-hand side of dirtdoctor.com. Click on that and you can come. You can join there. You can also just come to the event if you live in the close enough to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It's in Allen, Texas, just north of Dallas, January the 19th from 10. The door opens at 9, but it officially gets started at 10 o'clock. Goes to about 4:30. And you can join right there when you come to the event if you want to go that route. And we'd love to have you. We've got a lot of interest in it and a lot of great people coming to participate in the event with me. This will be the first of others that will be more geared toward a lot of different specific subjects. This one's going to cover the gamut. We're going to talk about organic gardening and landscaping and farming and ranching and pest control and nutrition and health issues and boy, you just name it. You're going to get to try out the spa that you you may have heard the show the day that I had the guest on. There's an infrared spa that Judy and I have really become a big fan of, and there's going to be one there at the event for you to try. I'm pretty into it. I think there's something to it. I've been talking to a lot of other people recently who have been into infrared saunas in different ways and really extol all the virtues of it. And this is one of the most economical ways to get into it. So it's just one of the many things that we'll cover. My tea, I didn't talk about the first hour in detail. It's a good one. It's mint, thyme, yerba mate, and dandelion root, and lots of good local honey from our friends. The Texas Honeybee Guild, they always have some honey around my place. That's what I recommend wherever you are, buy local from the local people there. And it's the best sweetener there is. We're talking today, and we're going to continue that. You can jump on board here about any subject you want to bring up with me, but we're going to continue to talk about what got me into this was a column that was written. It's something we deal with all the time, but there was a almost, I guess you'd call it, over the top negative slam on organics. It was written in a local column here in the Dallas Fort Worth area recently, and the basically the end of it said the following. If you missed it, it's pretty important to hear this because it relates to everything else that I'm going to be talking about today. There's a lot of ways to respond to this. The column was about several different things, and then it ended this way. Finally, the most incredible things I see come from the soil additives that are sold here. It seems like they're willing to say almost anything. You'll see terms like balancing the soil, activating microbes, stimulating root growth, and doing it all natural way. What you won't see on their labels and websites is bona fide research from the country, from the country's land-grant universities. What you will see is a bunch of vague hooey and testimonies from people who probably wouldn't know good soil if they fell into it. Real soil scientists just shake their heads at these quack products. The truth is that all these products offer is inflated prices for virtually useless junk. Texas ought to require proof of performance for all the claims that are made, but for now, let buyers beware. Pretty strong slam for organic products, not only here in Texas, but across the United States. The organic industry is growing by leaps and bounds. And the people that are using the natural organic techniques in a lot of cases are getting into it because it works so much better. One of the things that we did on our recent trip, I mentioned first hour, we just got back from San Francisco, and we toured the wine country. We toured Sonoma and Napa both. We had done Napa before. We toured Sonoma for the first time, and all kinds of different wineries and vineyards and everything. But one of the things that was really consistent out there was that even though there's not a high percentage of those people in that industry that are claiming certified organic growing and putting out certified organic wines, almost all of them are using those techniques. And they'll tell you, if you can talk to the growers and talk to people in the field and everything, they are all switching over. I think Fetzer was one of the first ones to do it, and they did it for years without telling anybody they were doing it because they had gotten into using organics. They found that they had a great advantage by using those soil building, you know, one of those terms that we're not supposed to use, soil building techniques, and having a sustainable situation in the soil and not ruining it with synthetic fertilizers, but building that microbial population. And yes, that is a very valid kind of a term to use. What happened was their production levels have gone up. The sugar content in the grapes has gone up, and across the board, people in the industry are using more and more organic techniques, even though the certified organic claim is still a very small percentage of what's there. And that pretty much is the case in all of farming and ranching across the board. You'll see people using this research that we're talking about today, using these techniques, using these products, and having great results, but not necessarily going the whole route of being certified organic. One of the things we were talking about is some of the people in the past that have been doing organic research. Dr. T.L. Sen was one of the first with seaweed. That's one of the reasons why seaweed is in the Garrett Juice formula that I recommend, along with molasses and vinegar and all these other things. Now, if you can't listen to all my conversation today, one of the things you can do on this research idea is do a web search on any of these specific subjects. Do research, do a website search on vinegar or on molasses or on rock powders or certain specific rock powders like granite or lava sand, and you're going to pull up information from a lot of different people, a lot of different universities, a lot of different entities about this stuff. If you want the research, if you don't want the research, if you just want to use what we recommend and have great results, that's fine too, either way you want to go. Pecans specifically have a lot of research right here in Texas. Dr. Joe Bradford, and we covered this quite well. Joe's been on the show. He talked with us for 3 hours one time about his experience at the USDA down in the valley and also his pecan research in Hamilton County in Texas. And in both cases, he proved to himself, and he's an ex-USDA chemical guy, and I think that's important. He and my friend Mike Amaranthus are kind of in the same category there. They used to be fully vested in the chemical way of doing things and started using some organic techniques, did research, really looked into it sincerely, and saw that it worked better. Joe's research on pecans in Hamilton showed across the board the organic techniques, and there were several different ones used. They're all very thoroughly covered in his reports and everything. All worked better than the chemical way of going. And the most important one, of course, was that production went up, but also maybe the most important to a lot of people is that the taste of the pecans was better across the board where organic techniques were used. In the valley, he showed that organic programs on soy and cotton and other crops like that were superior in production down there. In both cases, that research, after he was given early retirement, was canceled. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more because the same thing happened over in Stephenville, Texas, the research entity, which was Texas A&M, by the way, that came up with the wonderful data about cornmeal being a natural disease control. Dr. Joe McFarlane and his staff over there came up with that. They told me about it. I took it to the next level by getting people across Texas at that time to use cornmeal for fungus control. Got great reports back about how well it worked, and then started looking into further research and everything. Joe was offered early retirement and later told me that the university and the research station had no interest in continuing looking into that research. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, more on research on organics when I come back, 866-444-3478.
Register today for Howard Garrett's Healthy Living and Growing Seminar. Howard is teaming up with other experts to present growing edible gardens, mosquito control that works, natural pet health, natural remedies for weeds, head lice, foot fungus, and insect bites, nutrition and health, and much more. There will be prize drawings throughout the event, so register today by going to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Healthy Living and Growing Seminar logo or call 866-444-3478. Register at dirtdoctor.com today and have a more successful 2013.
Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist and Drug Muggers. I understand the value of medication, but in the process of helping, they can rob the body of many essential nutrients. I call them drug muggers because they spark side effects that are often diagnosed as a new disease. Every medication, whether over-the-counter or prescription, robs the body of beneficial bacteria. That's why I recommend probiotics for anyone taking medication and for good health in general. Bacterial balance is vital for healthy digestion, improved immunity and tip-top health. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics nurtures the garden of bacteria that is distinctive to your body. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's exclusive formula uses living bacteria combined in a Japanese fermentation process that sets Dr. O'Hara's probiotics apart from all other brands.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic approaches in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC wants to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center can use your support. Your contribution is tax deductible. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the bottom of the homepage to find out more about TORC and how you can help. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com. Everyone is talking environmental issues and going green. Natural organic gardening and landscaping are important parts of this movement. Some organic proponents only say to stop using the chemicals. Howard Garrett, in the highly acclaimed Organic Manual, explains in detail what to do instead. His what to do is the organic method. He recommends stopping the use of toxic chemical pesticides and synthetic fertilizer, but goes on in great detail about the practical alternatives. This is one of the few gardening books effective for use coast to coast and border to border. The best-kept secret of all, uncovered in the Organic Manual, is that the organic program is better in every way. Whether it's growing beautiful landscaping or delicious healthy food crops, the Organic Manual explains bed preparation, planting, pest control, and compost making. It also covers pet management and natural living advice. Purchase the Organic Manual in bookstores everywhere. Also available in independent garden centers, nurseries, hardware, and other fine stores. Go to dirtdoctor.com to purchase or to find a store near you.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And we're going to catch up on some phone calls before I continue my conversation with you about research in the natural organic arena. We're going to go first to Macon, Georgia, and talk with Otis. Hello, Otis.
Hey, Dr. Garrett. I've got a question for you this morning.
Yes, sir.
If I have leaf mulch around my pecan and orange trees, how can I apply Garrett Juice Plus to the root system with all the leaves underway?
Well, what I do, Otis, I do it the easy way. I just spray the trunk of the tree and the leaves, and then I'll, if I want it to get down in the soil, I'll drench it a little heavier than just a light spraying, and then rain and irrigation will wash it on down through it. Being on the leaves and then later getting on down into the soil is no big deal. On the other hand, you could rough up the leaves so that there is a little bit of soil showing between the leaves and the mulch, and spray and then reapply it. Generally, I don't do that. I'll just apply right on top of the mulch, and it sooner or later gets down into the soil and does some good. Being in the mulch indirectly feeds everything well anyway, because you're helping the microbes and everything in that mulch and helping it all break down.
Okay.
So either way you want to go is fine. I think a lot of people, you bring up a good point, though, a lot of people don't even realize that spraying the trunk of trees is a way of feeding the trees too. So whenever you spray a Garrett Juice mixture or fish and seaweed or whatever your preferred mixture is, be sure to put it on the foliage as well as on the bark, and this is any time of the year, the bark of the plant, foliage, and the ground plane all. That's the ideal way to apply liquid materials.
I was checking one on your website, and they had that Garrett Juice Plus concentrate.
Uh-huh.
What's the mixture on that concentrate? How strong is it?
Well, it depends on whose concentrate you're using. There may be some other people. The concentrate that we explain on DirtDoctor.com, it's got the rates that are recommended for it.
Yeah.
The commercial products, you know, there's a couple of different commercial products, and they recommend a little bit different rates. In general, about 2 ounces per gallon of water is the recommendation of the concentrate to go into the liquid for the spray, though.
Okay,
it'll vary a little bit depending on whose product it is.
Yeah, I might just go with it instead of trying to make my own.
Well, either way, it's available commercially for those people that don't like to make their own, but my formula is always there for everybody if they want to do it that way.
Okay, thank you so much for your help. Enjoy your program.
Thank you, Otis. Thanks for calling. Call us again. It is Bill in Marlin, Texas. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, Mr. Garrett. Here's the deal. I have a neighbor that said I can do gardening on their 3 acres of farmland.
Okay.
But it's all native grass and Johnson grass and everything like that. I'm intending to take a moldboard plow, turn the whole thing over, chisel it, you know, smooth it down. And I know the winter kill has killed all the grass and everything. But what would be your program after I turned it up to go from there? I don't want to have to be fighting 3 acres of grass and everything. I want to do sweet corn, black-eyed peas, and watermelon on that area.
All right. It sounds like a good plan as far as what you're going to plant. You can plant a lot more than that, but your game plan has a major fatal flaw, Bill. The moldboard plow used first to turn everything under will give you an absolute nightmare weed problem forever.
Okay? It will.
Yes, so don't do that. Your comment that everything's dead right now is incorrect. The coastal Bermuda grass is the main weed I'm worried about for you. It is very much still alive. It's simply dormant. And if you take that moldboard plow and turn it under, you will have coastal Bermuda grass coming back in your vegetable plantings forever. So we don't want to do that. You can take the basic same equipment that you mentioned there and get yourself a box scraper or get another piece of equipment in there. Take that box scraper and set it to scrape about 2 inches of soil off the surface. That gets the rhizomes and stolons of the Bermuda grass and also the weeds out. The grass, including Bermuda, will not come back from roots, just from stolons and rhizomes. So you scrape it off, put it in a big pile over there, and then you do the soil amendments, which is compost, rock powders, and sugars, into that soil where you've totally eliminated the vegetative growth that can come back. You follow what I'm saying here?
Oh, okay. What about turning it then?
Well, you turn it after you have scraped everything off the surface. You never want to turn it first or till it first. Scrape it all off while it's still intact. Mow it down low so you can see what you're doing. Scrape it off 2 inches or so, inch and a half to 2 inches. Then you put the amendments on there. Then you till that into the soil to a depth of about 8 inches. Then you build your rows or hills, however you want to set it up, and then you plant away in that. You might still have some weeds in Bermuda coming back. You spot spray with D-limonene or orange oil, something like the Avenger product, or you make your own vinegar product, or you use flame, or you use any of these other organic ways of controlling the weeds, but you want to get rid of them first or you really have a big problem.
Oh, okay. I see what you're talking about.
Yep.
Hey, and the old boy from A&M, you reckon it could be his pocketbook is getting gored?
Oh, you wouldn't think that would be the case, would you, Bill? Come on.
I thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. We'll talk more about anything you'd like to chat about, and I'll continue my little diatribe about research and hopefully help you with some stuff right after this.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. President Obama applying pressure on Republicans to negotiate a fiscal deal. Interviewed on NBC TV's Meet the Press program, President argued that GOP leaders have rejected his past attempts to strike a bigger and more comprehensive bargain. The Republicans say the president has been intransigent on issues such as raising taxes. Everybody's meeting in Washington today trying to work out some kind of a deal before the first of the new year. President Obama is also voicing skepticism about proposals to place armed guards in schools in the wake of the Connecticut massacre. It's an idea many people in the country support. The crash of a Russian airliner in Moscow has claimed a fifth victim, a flight attendant. plane was carrying 8 people, all of them crew members, when it went off a runway while landing Saturday, went partly into an adjacent highway and broke into pieces and caught fire. An investigation is underway. This is SRN News.
Ladies, are any of these symptoms familiar? Weight gain, hot flashes, rapid heartbeat, night sweats? How about fatigue, nausea, low energy? Or what about sleeplessness, low libido, and fat storage, especially around the belly area? If you're a woman over 40 experiencing any of these symptoms, you probably have hormonal imbalance. And until you balance your hormones, it'll be practically impossible to get rid of these problems. But you're in luck because Ambrin is the all-natural formula clinically shown to cause sustained weight loss in women over 40 with no big change in lifestyle. Ambrin restores hormonal imbalance in women over 40, so the extra pounds fall away and the other symptoms simply disappear. To receive a complimentary risk-free trial with a free 30-day supply, just be one of the first 50 callers right now at 1-800-890-6408. Free supplies are limited, so be one of the first callers right now at 1-800-890-6408. That's 1-800-890-6408.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. The Texas Longhorns started the season 4-0 and ranked the top 10, but they lost 4 of their next 9 games and had to settle for playing in the Alamo Bowl. The Longhorns took advantage of that opportunity, rallying to beat Oregon State 31-27 last night. Texas defensive end Alex Okafor led a strong Longhorn defense performance with 4.5 individual sacks.
Just been breaking down film all month, and Coach Diaz saw weakness in the protection, and he put me in a great position to go make plays.
Both teams finished 9-4. Dan Conroy kicked a 47-yard field goal with a minute left, and Michigan State rallied to beat TCU 17-16 in the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. Syracuse scored twice on safeties, and the Orange said goodbye to the Big East with a 38-14 victory over West Virginia in the Pinstripe Bowl. Syracuse is now switching to the ACC. Arizona State won its first bowl game in 7 years, a 62-28 rout of Navy in the Fight Hunger Bowl, and Rice whipped Air Force 33-14 in the Armed Forces Bowl. This is SRN Sports. In the NBA, it was Oklahoma City 124, Houston 94. Thunder forward Kevin Durant with 26 points says they took control of the game in the second and third quarters with a 16-0 run.
End of that second quarter, I think the last 3 or 4 minutes is what pushes over the top. And, you know, that third quarter was really good as well. You know, we started off so well, got some steals, got some fast break points. So it was a good one.
Atlanta beat Indiana 109-100. Other NBA winners, New Orleans, Toronto, Brooklyn, Memphis, Minnesota, Chicago, Milwaukee, Portland, and Golden State. Several playoff spots are on the line when the NFL closes out the regular season today. When Dallas plays at Washington tonight, the math is simple. Win and you take the NFC East, lose and you're out. Redskins quarterback Robert Griffin III says no one gave up hope when the team went into its bye week with a 3-6 record.
Going on the break, like I told everybody, I was able to clear my head and just know that you don't have to freak out in a situation like that. As long as everyone takes the right mindset into every game the rest of the season, then we can win them all. And we've done that to this point. We expect to go finish it.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
Okay, one more call before we go back to the research talk. Kay in Granbury. Hello, Kay.
Hello, Howard. Let me turn the volume down on the dove.
Come on over here, Kay. What can we do you for?
Okay, I'd like to know. I have 2 dead live oak trees that are now on the ground. How can I look at those and see what they died from?
Well, give me a little history here. Is this in an irrigated area?
No, not at all.
Not irrigated. Were these native trees, or did you plant them?
Oh, no, they were very old. Probably, I'm saying, maybe 30 years old, and okay. They were on the property when I came here.
Well, hate to hear this. Are you seeing trees dying on other properties around you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, everywhere.
Okay. Oak wilt is a possibility. We've got it covered pretty well on DirtDoctor.com, but the symptoms are pretty distinctive on a live oak. It's pretty easy to tell if it was oak wilt. And it should still be showing, since it's an evergreen tree, if there's any leaves that you know, haven't totally disintegrated on the ground. The leaves will be green, but the veins will be brown or yellowish, just the opposite of what you'd see if you had a nutrient deficiency. If there was chlorosis in the leaf, you know, the veins turn yellow, and in between the veins stays green. I mean, the veins turn yellow, the part between the veins turns yellow and the green veins stay. So it's just the opposite of chlorosis.
Okay.
And it's very distinctive. If you look on dirtdoctor.com, we've got pictures of it. If you look in my books, the bug book or the Texas Gardening the Natural Way, I think either one of those has real good pictures of live oaks and that symptom. Red oaks is totally different, and it shows what it looks like in there. But that's one thing that it can be. The other thing that can be is just a drought situation where it got so dry in the ground that the drought killed the trees. That's rare on live oaks. It's more common on post oaks and blackjack oaks and things like that.
All right, and I do have some other live oaks, and they are dropping their green leaves right now. Is that a bad sign?
Well, not necessarily. The live oak, even though it's an evergreen tree, it loses its leaves just like any tree does. It just does it at a different time. Normally, when it drops its leaves, is in the late winter, early spring, as the buds swell to push out the new growth. We've had a very mild winter up until just the last couple of days, and so you may have had and we're seeing some unusual timing on some of the plants. It could be that it's just the buds swelling from the warm winter weather and pushing those leaves off the plant.
Okay, that's good news.
Yeah, that may be all it is.
Wonderful.
And so if that's the case, but anyway, look at the symptom that I explained to you. If that's it, applying the anti-sick tree treatment, of course, doing that no matter what the case is will relieve the stress in the trees better than anything you can do. It's not a product. It's a procedure. It's aerating and putting out all the soil amendments that we recommend for bed preparation, basically, and building the life in that soil, one of those terms that the critics say we shouldn't be using.
All right. Thank you so much, Howard.
Appreciate the call, Kay. Thank you. And the number in wide open lines all of a sudden, but gives me a chance to get back to what I was not finished with. The number, though, call anytime is 866-444-3478. I promise talking in a little bit more detail about the pecan trees. And in that research that Joe Bradford did down in Hamilton, Texas, about different organic techniques on the trees, one of the side benefits, pieces of data that came out of his research was that he planted Kansa and Sioux and Cheyenne and Caddo. Actually, he didn't plant them. They were already there. He used an existing pecan orchard, and Desirable was there. Well, for some number of years, A&M and some of the other universities, and I've joined in with them on this, and some of the other commentators and all started recommending the pecan trees to have real small nuts rather than the real big ones like Desirable and some of the others have. And the ones that were mentioned the most were things like Kansa and Sioux and Cheyenne and Caddo and that sort of thing. His research showed just the opposite. It showed 100% different. He had the best luck with Desirable and had really poor results with Caddo and Kansa. Other people on other sites with other soils see, something different. And that's why I recommend a lot of times, unless somebody has enough land and has already done some testing of different varieties for what's best on their specific property, a lot of times what's best for the homeowner is to plant more than one variety, and that gives you the best chances of success. So next category that we have research on and we're delighted to, we would, by the way, use some of these things even if the research didn't exist because we have the research. We've used these products ourselves and anecdotally know how they perform and what they will do. But molasses is one of the other major things that we recommend, sugars in general. If you do We need to get ours a little bit better organized for you on our website so you can find these different things. But information about molasses is there. We did a newsletter about some of the research that ARS did on molasses. And they looked not only at the great trace mineral benefit of molasses, but also the indirect disease control that comes from molasses. I think it's one of the reasons why we get such wonderful results when we use a blend of these things that we like in liquids or in dry materials, the liquids being the Garrett juice. You know, there's research backing up every piece of that mixture, compost tea, the liquid humates, the molasses, the vinegar, the apple cider vinegar, the fish. And, you know, you can do web searches. We've got information at Texas Organic Research Center, and we'll be putting it up there and getting more organized for you all the time. We really need to make it easier for people to find, because a lot of people, when they hear people be negative about organics, they think that they know what they're talking about, and of course they don't, and they need to see this research that backs up why we use all these different things. The next category is rock, ground-up rock materials. Is a staple. It's a very important part of this soil building, this building of biological activity in the soil, this helping to make the trace minerals balanced and buffered and available to the plant materials. Rock materials, ground up rock that's different from the base rock on the property, has enormous benefits to the soil and to the plants that you're growing on the soil. And one of the greatest benefits of ground-up rock materials put into the soil is the water savings aspect. The organic program overall will save you 40 to 50% on your water bill on irrigation. It's been documented on things from Ima Hogs Estate in Houston, Bayou Bend, to golf courses and orchards and vineyards and residential properties and corporate headquarters, you know, across the country. But one of the main pieces of the organic program that gives you that water savings benefit is the rock materials in the mix. I think a lava sand, for example, which is one of the things I have gotten the most criticism recommending since I've been doing this. Ground up lava sand, as fine a texture as you can get, will hold moisture at just the right level in the soil for longer than anything you can do. But there's a lot of other great rock materials too. Again, if it's different than the base rock on your property, it's going to be beneficial. You know, iron ore rock, I put green sand in that category, granite, schist, what are some of the others? Azomite is great. Any of these rock materials that's something that your soil doesn't already have. It's a wonderful buffering agent and helps you with the microbes. And then the microbes are a category that's very important to talk about. And, in fact, the negative column that was written specifically mentions activating the microbes as a as a silly term to use. You know, it's the most important thing we talk about. The microbes in the soil, the life in the soil, is the most important thing that we talk about. All the other stuff, the compost, the bark, the mulch, or the whatever kind of mulches, pine bark I don't recommend, but the natural mulches, the organic fertilizers, the sugars, all of those things point toward building the life in the soil. That's the goal. If you build the life in the soil, you've used a bunch of good stuff. And the life in the soil is what creates the true natural fertility of the soil, and where the, you know, the water holding capacity comes from, where the disease control comes from, where the insect repression comes from. All those good things come from those microbes being in the soil. And to say that there's no research in this area is showing how either badly your head is in a place it shouldn't be, the sand or some other place, or you have an alternative mission, you know, that you just don't want to be honest about. because mycorrhizal fungus alone, which is one of the most important microbes that we talk about, there's over 70,000 research papers on that specific microbe alone. And Dr. Michael Amaranthus, which is a co-author with me and John Ferguson on the organic program for the professionals, the book, he has done about 4,000 or 5,000 of those research projects himself. He's a PhD. He's an ex-USDA guy. He, like Joe Bradford, was doing the chemicals before the light came on, and he started doing organic stuff, using organic amendment here, using an organic tool there instead of the chemical that he was using. And he started noticing that wherever he used an organic amendment or an organic fertilizer or an organic whatever, that he had better success, that he had better results. He started looking into it more and more and more. Well, he's as hardcore organic today as I am, and that's why he's a co-author with me on the book. And like I said, there are thousands of research projects and papers and reports and data on mycorrhizal fungus alone, not to mention the other microbes, which we'll talk about after this. Howard Garrett. Dogs. My dogs give me a laugh every day. I hope yours do too. I really like cats as well, but we don't have them because of allergies. My wife has. But in both cases, I have a recommendation for you. It's Munster Natural Pet Foods. There are high quality ingredients in all these products. There are no toxic preservatives. The highest quality ingredients include prebiotics and L-carnitine and some things that I've been recommending a long time. They're quite rare. Some of the products contain no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, so there's something for everyone. Munster Natural Pet Foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the USA, not in China. Everything about Munster Natural is quality and results in healthy dogs and cats. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster Natural, ask them to contact MunsterMilling.com and find out how to get the products into your area and make your dogs and cats happier and healthier.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus, and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. Just ran into something interesting. I'm learning new things today, too, having to look into all this in a little bit more detail. Richard in Colorado Springs next up. Hey, Richard.
Hi, Dr. Garrett. Nice to talk to you again.
Same here.
Got a couple little things. That guy who wrote that article obviously doesn't know squat about Colorado soil, the plain soil. We got the most sterile soil in the world around here besides the desert. I mean, you can dig up anywhere around here. You won't find any activity, so I don't know what he's talking about. But anyway, 22 years ago, I left Florida to go to Topeka, Kansas to do a renovation on a 108-year-old house, and the people I was working for were big on this dry hydrogen peroxide as a soil renovator.
Yeah.
What do you know about that?
Well, that's what I just learned something new about. I've never used dry hydrogen peroxide. I know a little bit about it in the fact that in extreme concentrations, you know, it's used dry as a rocket fuel. So it's a very interesting material. The dry form, I just pulled up a research project on it. It's from the Infection Control and Hospital Epidemiology newsletter or research paper. The name of it is Comparison of the Efficiency of a Hydrogen Peroxide Dry Mist Disinfectant System, and yada, yada, yada. So it is out there. It is being used, and there is research backing it up, in addition to the use of liquid hydrogen peroxide. And I just pulled that up. The ARS has done a test on it, using it in agriculture and in some of the ways that you hear me recommend it on the show. Cost effectiveness of the two, I don't know. And the dry one, Richard, is a little bit, has a little bit more chemistry in it than just H2O2. You know, the liquid hydrogen peroxide is just water with an extra hydrogen molecule. The dry one is apparently sodium hypochlorite. So it's a little bit different chemistry. But if you do a search on it on the web, you'll pull up all the research you want about it. It's used primarily in hospitals as a cleaning material.
Yeah, I was curious if it ever took on, because they were big on it. It was supposed to be something out of Kansas State University, and they were part of it, and they were supposedly you put it in the soil and it helps the microbiologicals increase and stuff like that. But I didn't hear any. I haven't really looked it up, but it just came to me. Anyway, two other small things.
Sure.
Now the great things from like that, you told the guy to scrape 2 inches off before he does anything.
Right.
Can he turn that into compost?
Yes. I should have mentioned that. I usually do when you scrape Bermuda or fescue or bluegrass or St. Augustine or whatever kind of grass you scrape off to do a new bed, whether it's landscaping or food crops or whatever, yes, that can be piled up into a pile and composted by itself, or better still, mixed with sawdust and leaves and food materials and other things to be composted. And the composting will totally neutralize the problem that I was warning him about it coming back as a weed problem.
Right.
It'll
now,
kill it.
We're getting frozen pretty good. My compost pile is fairly good size. I was curious, could I dump some hot water in that to get that hot water into the center of that pile? And you think that would help during the winter?
It'll be fine. It may or may not be worth the trouble. You might be surprised if you broke through the ice on the outside and dug down in the center. You'd probably find there's still some heat down inside the pile. But if you add more molasses, more green material, more organic fertilizer, things like that, you're going to build up the heat to where it'll probably melt the ice on the surface. Putting some hot water in it wouldn't hurt a thing and probably would be beneficial. So if you have the time and want to do that, that's no problem at all.
Okay, one more thing. Mm-hmm. For people who want to do small gardens, a sod cutter will do the same thing as a box blade.
It will, and I used to recommend it pretty highly, but I've had some of the landscape contractors tell me that it's too much trouble, and what they do, they like to just have their guys go in with flat shovels and or rakes. Most of the landscape contractors like flat shovels, and some of those guys are such artists that they can just take out, you know, an inch and a half or 2 inches with a flat shovel quicker than using a sod cutter. But yes, that is a possible tool. They're just big and kind of awkward to handle.
Yeah. Got a lot of sod with them.
Yep.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Richard. Thanks for calling. Okay. Back to our little deal. I need to work this in so I don't forget it. The negative side of the research that's out there, even though our critic says it's not, is this. This brand new, the title of this paper, it's not a journal like that other one. It's just a paper that was produced by Dr. Don M. Huber, emeritus professor, Purdue University. And he's the guy some of you may have heard about, has been in several books. He's been very vocal about the dramatically negative things about Roundup. And this abstract is extremely damaging. Again, it's a new update on the dangers and the negatives about Roundup. I'll read the abstract to you when I come back. The whole research paper, if not already, will be on dirtdoctor.com in the research area, along with all the other negative things about Roundup. So if you want to go there, if somebody's trying to argue with you that Roundup goes away, which the critic that I've been talking about all morning today says goes away completely when it hits the soil, that's nonsense. And we'll tell you why right after this. Howard Garrett, back after this.